And in John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Let me stop right there. Many of us have looked at other people and said, "Wonder what sin they had in their life to bring that on." We have to be very careful as Christ followers, as ambassadors of Christ, as Christ-like individuals, not to judge other people and say, "I wonder what they did to bring that on in their life." You know, Jesus said, not all calamities and not all special things that happen are brought on because of sin necessarily, which tells me some are, but some aren't. But he says, not everything brought on and that people go through are because of their sin. Some things are to bring out the glory of God and make manifest his work in their lives and the lives of those people around them. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." And he says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For the night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Now going back, I'm sure if we were looking for the Messiah and some man walked up to us and spat on the ground and started rubbing some dirt and went to put it on our eyes, first of all, we wouldn't know because we're blind. But if we were watching, we'd think, what is that guy doing? And we have to understand that God is still among us. God is still among us today. And again, they're looking for the Messiah. They're hearing a lot of talk about him. He's been coming. It's the same with us. We've heard a lot of talk. He's coming. Could you imagine if somebody walked up and said, "By the way, I am he." So Jesus rubbed this in his eyes. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back, seeing. The man was healed. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is this not the one who sat and begged?" They'd seen him for years sitting and begging. Some of them said, "Yes, this is he." And others said, "He's like him." Therefore, they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. And he said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "That I do not know." Jesus gave a simple thing. Said, "All you got to do is go do this. I put this on your eyes. Now go wash." If you remember several weeks back, we were talking about the servant going out to the head of the military that had leprosy. And he came out and the guy said, "My gosh, why is Elisha not coming out and telling me?" He sent his servant. And you remember that leader, his servants that went with him said, "Man, if he had asked you to do some great act, would you not have done that?" But he asked such a simple thing. Why is it that you don't do that? And I think the same is true with us. Sometimes God just says, "I'm just looking for a simple thing here. Man, all I want you to do, Adam, all I need you to do is go do this." I don't feel like it. We just don't feel like it. We're tired. We're busy. It doesn't fit in with our schedule. Today's events, God said, "Adam, do this." You know, we usually do the announcements and offering, and we just don't have time for that. But I thought, God has been pecking for the last couple days and said, "We've got something big coming up. We've got something big, and we need the people to prepare themselves. Prepare themselves for what's coming, because it may not be in the normal setting. And it may not be on a normal day at church. And it may not be in the normal order of things throughout your day the way you said it." But he said, "Man, make room for me." So he says, "I don't know where Jesus is." And he had that simple thing that Jesus told him to do. Go wash in the pool and come back and you'll see. And the guy did it. He was obedient to the simple things. Now here's where we get into trouble. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. I could just imagine that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Adam, Eric, Helen, look. We've got so-and-so that was blind, but now they see. Why do they drag him to the Pharisees? I'll tell you why. Now, it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay in my eyes and washed. And I washed, and now I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God. He couldn't possibly be, because he does not keep the Sabbath. You see, they were not allowed to do work on the Sabbath unless it was necessary. And that's exactly what Jesus was telling them. This was necessary. You see, I can't do this out of order service because this is what we do on the Sabbath unless it's necessary. This today was necessary. And God said, I will move when it's necessary and you are obedient to me. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. A division amongst the religious folks. He was obedient. Yeah, he did things out of ordinary. We still have the same thing because we're used to these things. And it could be in prayer of faith. It could be down the road. It could be across town. It could be in another state. But we still have religious divisions because that's not what I'm used to, or I read this a different way, or I interpret it this way. But God simply says, man, when I show up, just be ready. Be open, be available. By the way, I healed on a Sabbath, said Jesus, because it was necessary. It may be necessary for some to speak in tongues. It may be necessary through God for others to sing and shout and talk and dance and do all the different things. But there was a division among them. And I just pray that we don't have divisions among us. If we follow the Spirit of God, if we worship God in truth and in spirit, I don't understand how there could be a division. So I just constantly pray that there's no division among us who worship God. In verse 17, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he's opened your eyes? And the guy said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we don't know. However, he's old enough. He's of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself, his parents said, these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that anyone who confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. Well, I know if we flip over, and actually you can stay where you're at, but over in Romans 14, verse 10, it says, by who do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, because it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. He's already saying we judge, but he says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's path. Remember last week I talked about the preacher that people were complaining because there were people out smoking. They said, what were they smoking? Cigarettes. Oh, thank God. They were smoking other things before that. And it's the same thing we want to judge. And we talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. about judging one another. And we come from different backgrounds and makeups and family settings. But these parents said, this I know is my son. And yes, he was born blind, but by the way, he's old enough, you need to ask him. But they feared being put out. And churches before have put people out because of things that their family members have done or said, or things they have done or said in reference to their family members. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory, because we know that this man is a sinner, speaking of Jesus. And they thought, he's a sinner because he's healing on a Sabbath. And the man answered and said to him, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. And I'm sure at that point he's really thinking, I don't care. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And I could just see these religious guys going, are you sure you weren't just walking around closing them and he just opened them real wide and used a lot of strength? They just couldn't accept that. And he said, I already told you and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? And I love this next line. Do you also want to become a disciple? Could you imagine him asking the Pharisees, do you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ? Man, he healed me. Maybe he can help you guys out. Oh, the anger of the Pharisees. And of course, then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Searching so hard for Jesus Christ, but we don't know where this guy came from. The man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone would open the eyes of one who has been blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. This guy that was blind all his life knew enough of the scriptures to say, this guy is of God, because no one has ever done this that hasn't been from God. So I know that he is from God. And we have to look in our own life. No way this could have happened to me if it wasn't of God. No way I could have been blessed like this if it wasn't from God. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins. A little judging there. And are you teaching us now? And they cast him out. It's a sad day when a teacher is unteachable. When a trainer is untrainable. But that's what they did. You were born in sin, and now you're trying to teach us? Get out of here. And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? Remember last week when we were talking about the lady at the well, Jesus said, that one that you seek, I am he. And same thing happens right here. Who is this guy that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who you are talking to. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And again, can you just imagine right now in this setting, as in this day and age, going, God, where are you? And God walks up and says, by the way, the one you seek, yeah, I'm he. Standing right in front of him, touching him, healing him, revealing himself to him. Jesus said to him, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see me and that those who see me may be made blind. You see, the Pharisees could see him, but they were blind to their own sin. And this blind guy couldn't see, but he could believe. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to him, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains in you." As Jesus is preparing and knowing he's going to the cross soon, as he knows what's about to happen, he's out there touching people and changing lives. He's out there making a difference to some. And he's out there revealing himself. And he's still doing that today for you and I. And he simply says, when you come here, by the way, walking up and down the streets looking for me, just slow down and gaze into my eyes and I will reveal myself to you. When you come into prayer of faith and we get ready to worship God, don't worry about the songs we sing. And I don't like that. I like this. Just worship God. Close your eyes. Open your eyes. I don't care what you do. Just have communion with God. Just have time with God. And allow himself to reveal himself to you. Sometimes for the first time. And sometimes it's just a matter of submitting and allowing yourself to be broken so that God can pour himself into you and I. Let's bow our heads today. Father, we thank you so much for the work that you are doing in this church body. Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in my life and in the lives of the members of this church body. You are opening our spiritual eyes. You are opening our hearts. Where before they have been hardened, you are softening them up. Lord, where we have had blind spots, you are opening our eyes and revealing others to us. Others that we can touch, that we can reach, that we can accept. Lord, as we study the journey that you made to the cross, then to the grave, and then to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Don't let us do it blindly. Don't let us just go through it blindly, Lord. But open our eyes to understand sometimes the simplest things you ask of us that we're unwilling to do. Whether it's going someplace, not going someplace, calling someone or not calling someone, doing something or not doing something, sometimes the simplest things you ask us of and we refuse to do. Today, where you sit with your eyes closed, some of you are still seeking God. You're still seeking for him to pour himself into you. Would you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you and I can pray for God to reveal himself to you? Thank you. Some of you have been blind for years. In this place, out of this place. But you're saying, God, I really want to see you. I don't want to go through the motions any longer. Thank you. I don't want to go through the motions. This is for young people. This is for old people. This is for everybody. God, for those that have slipped up their hands and those that haven't but still feel that way, God, I ask you to come down and penetrate our being. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your light. Give us newfound hope in being a follower of Christ. God, show us something that we can take to others and say, this is what God has done in my life. Lord, be with us this week as we go out into the world. Guide our actions, the things we do towards one another, and guide our words that they may not be harsh, but they be words of love, comfort, healing, encouragement, gentleness. And protect us from the enemy as we face the world this week. I ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.